T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Pistons improved to 5-0 on the season, and they're looking pretty good. They're looking real good.
They're looking okay.
Brady under pressure and had to throw it in a hurry, and it's intercepted.
One side is looking great. The other side, I don't know.
Brady looking both ways and goes down again.
Not ready to jump on board yet.
Sony Michel is just another guy.
Brady gives it to Michel. Michel, the 10, the 5, looking for the end zone. There.
Give me one word to describe Sony Michel. I would see he's kind of rugged. No, yeah. You can't say Jack.
Pass blocker.
Under pressure and going down again.
Well, I mean, he gets in the way.
Sony, it's great to have you.
No, I'm not buying into the offense yet.
Oh, come on, Christian. They finally got the
running
game.
I know you aren't either.
No, I am. I'm starting to buy in because they got the running game.
I am. It's coming back.
Right now.
We're not eating any babies here.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, 5 weeks into the season, we have only 2 undefeated teams left in the National Football League. Interesting.
Both, one place tonight.
Both are quarterbacked by New England Patriots draft picks, right? New England Patriots are 5-0, and the San Francisco 49ers, 2 fewer games. They are 3-0. They'll play tonight on Monday Night Football at home against the Cleveland Browns. Pretty amazing, though. 5 games in, and that's what we're left with.
How about all the Patriots' former quarterbacks? Jacoby Brissett, 11 and, the whole Wolfpack.
11-2.
Yeah, it's pretty
combined.
Impressive.
11-2 combined.
Who else is out there playing, slinging it anywhere? Anybody left? Matt Castle, he's working for TV.
Mallet popping anywhere?
Who?
Mallet? Ryan
no.
Mallet? No,
no,
he's done.
So that's might you be three popping guys. Somewhere, but 11 it's not football.
3 guys.
He had a little run-in there a while ago.
What do you mean a run-in?
Yeah, in March, he had a little run-in with Ryan. I don't forget what it was, but I don't know if it was. I'm not going to speak out of turn because I'm not sure.
DWI.
Oh, so it was a DWI. We're looking for a receiver to have a DWI.
Oh, is that how you're going to go get one in the free agent market?
Yes,
it worked before, didn't
yes.
it? You tried
yes.
that yeah. before.
Nothing crazy, just stumbling out of the bar. I don't know, whatever.
Okay, without looking at the signs, tell me where you are.
In your score, Thomas Apple.
Not even close.
Nope, that's what I'm looking for.
So the differential, the point differential now for New England is 121, which is absolutely amazing. The closest team to them right now is the 49ers at plus 42. But again, they've only played 3 games.
Plus 42.
Plus 42. They're 121 plus 121.
See, I think the story so far in 5 games is obviously the defense, right? You start looking at the positives. They're putting up historical numbers. And I think the beauty of it is that as great as they are, they're still getting dogged. Or they're still being questioned by people out there. I mean, you hear it. They haven't played anybody.
And it's
accurate and it's the reality. And they played bad teams. Not just bad teams, but bad teams with their backup quarterback.
Right.
Or bad teams with their third string quarterback. So it's I think that they're good. It's awful tough because I do think they're good. There's a lot of talent on that team. But it is tough to try to figure out how good this defense is. Given who they've played, that is just the reality of it.
Okay, so they're going to get in the second part of the season.
They played the worst offenses in all of football, and some of them with their backups.
Okay, and I'm still buying the defense. And what worries me the most, and I don't feel a heck of a lot better after yesterday's game, though I'll give them credit, they certainly rebounded in the second half. I'm still not crazy about the offense because they were playing a dog crap team yesterday.
But
right?
Sony Michel didn't impress you? He caught a pass.
Well, Sony Michel impressed me because I think the in the second half, The way they played, how many plays? 47 plays in the first half. They threw the ball 31 times. I think they wore down Washington's defense. So I think he was a product of their defense, Washington's defense, being a little bit worn down in the second half.
I would agree.
And
with
the
that.
Offensive line doing a better job.
I did like seeing him catch a couple passes.
That was
I did
nice.
Like seeing him throwing it to him, what, 3 times, 3
yes.
catches. That was beautiful.
Yes.
He's now 3-for-4 in the year.
Well, that takes away the predictability.
Well, at least throw right. him the football right. to see if he can do it. So, okay, he worked at it. He looked like he caught a couple passes. Beautiful.
So I can't
Brandon
argue.
Bolden also caught a touchdown pass, so he must be elite as well, right. according to people that were telling me all about Sony Michel. Still think he's a jack? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. I think if Bolden was a starting quarterback, running back, he would have done both. He would have caught the ball and ran the ball every run that Sony had.
He's better than Bolden.
You sure about that?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
So the best I've seen of Bolden was last year in Miami against the Patriots.
I tell you what, though, every time he's reliable. I mean, the guy is just plug and play. You need him in a spot. He does it. Like, when can you remember him making a bad play? Well, like standing out for doing something stupid.
I got to look at the all 22s.
I know, but still.
See if he didn't stay in his lane.
I would think based on that, it would be tougher for him to be so consistent because he's not playing regularly. He's never in rhythm.
Okay, so they haven't played a good offense, a top 20 offense. They've played one good defense, and the offense struggled, okay? So using those situations and watching the game again yesterday, I'm going to tell you, I'm still not convinced that this offense can score a lot of points against good defenses. I'm convinced, even though they've played crap offensive teams, that this defense is for real. Are they going to give up just 4 points a game, in which is what they're doing right now? No, they're probably going to give up 11, 12, 17. But I'm not sure if they're going to give up 30, 35, something like
that. No, I don't see that happening either. We got to see more now. So the Patriots, they release Ben Watson. Right, they don't activate him off the exemption list. I know he's on the exempt list, Bill. And I think, I'm not so sure it wasn't due to the fact that they didn't feel like Ben Watson's better than what they have. I just think it was a dollar figure attached to his name.
Yeah, so if
$2 million they could sign by cutting him today.
If it's strictly a roster decision, hey, listen, we don't have any room on our roster for you. If I'm Ben, I take that as, geez, I can't beat out Ryan Izzo and Lacoste,
who's always hurt.
I can't, like, I'm not going to have to beat those guys out.
Who was one for yesterday in targets who blew that first pass right in his hands?
So finally, those two, both of those guys have good games. They contribute. They block. They catch. And then you're encouraged by it. But before that, Izzo was getting pushed around. Lacoste wasn't even on the field. So, and you're going to go through the entire season with two guys?
Listen, what Belichick did today, I think, and he might even say this at 5:30. He did what was best for the New England Patriots.
Of course he did. Always.
And what's best for the New England Patriots.
I'm serious for that comment. You think he might actually tell us that today?
Maybe not.
That he did what's best for the team?
Maybe not.
That's going out on the limb.
Yeah, that would be.
That he might say that.
Right. But he did it, and that was clear money, $1.97 million, to give them about $3.5 million to actually go and get somebody between now and week 8, they can make this a better offense. They need to get a better receiver. They need to get either a wide receiver, tight end, but they need to get somebody who can help them move the chains because right now they are so dependent on Julian Edelman. I can't tell you. I don't even care if they're playing a crap team. If they do not have Julian Edelman in one of these games going forward, I can only imagine what would happen.
You could say, we used to have all these talks about who's the most important person on the team. It was like Gronk or Edelman or
two guys right now, not including Brady. Two guys. You know who the most important are? Julian Edelman
and
Dante Scarnecchia.
Oh, okay. So
maybe James White.
So is Dante Scarnecchia responsible for the offensive line and their issues in the first half?
Well, yes, but you got the personnel that you have.
No,
right?
Just responsible for the turnaround in the second.
It's so funny.
You mentioned what they're like without Julian Edelman. Do you think this quick turnaround is going to help him? I mean, after the game he had yesterday, and all the catches and targets and a few of the hits that he took, and he's got a quick turnaround? He might be a guy that you might be a little bit worried about on Thursday.
No, you know what will be great, though? Once you get through Thursday's game, you literally have 11 days. Their next game is a Monday night game against the Jets.
Would it shock you if Julian Edelman's inactive? Thursday, quick turnaround.
Yes.
Long layoff.
Yes.
Got to keep this guy fresh down the stretch.
Nope, I think he plays.
And if I give him basically 2 weeks off or whatever it might be.
Lou, I think they look at him
I'm
right
just
now.
Saying, ribs after that game, he was pretty active. He's got 3 days now. Go get him on Thursday?
Lou, he played.
Depends on how hurt he is, right?
He's played with sore ribs in the last two games. You can tell by the way he gets up off the ground.
With 6 days rest in between, not three.
They're going to have trouble winning this game against the Giants without Julian Edelman.
I agree with you, but that's not the point. The point is, will he be able to on 3 days rest? Now, he has with six with his ribs, but how involved he was yesterday, too, in a few of the hits to win that football game, I would think 3 day turnaround is going to be pretty hard for him. Now, listen, do I expect him to play? Yeah, I do. But I wouldn't be shocked if all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Julian Edelman's surprise inactive because of the guy's ribs are shot. And they need some extra time. Three days ain't good enough. Six would have been fine.
So no Edelman. Still the same two tight ends. Burkhead's out. So it's a heavy dose of Sony Michel and James White. So and no Dorsett. Well, I mean, honestly,
you win 9-3.
Maybe
it just are they just just are they just protected by which how speaks good to the point of is?
Yes, which speaks to the point
absolutely.
Of the, to me the Ben Watson release had more about the money attached to him than the player. Because they need to go out, and I'm not talking about week 8, week 9, the trade deadline. What is it, week 8, trying to find that $11 million receiver. I'm talking about that next the next guy down, the guy that's in that $4.5, $5 million that they can go out and get right now, that they can use for the next 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, and then Harry can come back and he can add to that depth. I think they need to go get somebody now.
So wait, so is
I don't want to
so
wait
is it,
4 weeks.
So they liked Ben, but not at 1.9.
Exactly.
They liked him at a veteran minimum, which is basically one.
Well, the $2 million.
So why not just cut him?
You really think
and
Ben
then
Watson
him?
Isn't as good as Lacoste, who's injured? Basically,
I do think
the last
I do
years?
Think Ben is.
So why they
than
cut
LaCosse?
Him? They cut him because of the money.
Okay, so cut him and then resign him.
They could do that week to
prorate
week.
Him, have him stick around. But if I'm Ben, based on what I just did, and I just don't know if I'm going to you know do any favors for anybody in one Patriot place.
I'd be pissed if I'm him. You think about it, he comes out of retirement. He knows he took some stuff. So he's probably going to fail it. So now his last year of a very good career, he's going to be suspended for a guy that took HGH. And then he's going to take time. You know, that's a family decision. That's just a player decision. That's support from the wife, support from the kids. I'm leaving my family again at 38. I thought I was ready to come home. I'm going to train. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to go to camp. I'm going to sit out 4 weeks. I'm going to come back. And they make the decision based on money. Oh, I'd be pissed because he still wants to play. We saw the reports. I think Ian Rapoport, the tweet, he still yeah. wants to play. And they bring you back. And again, I'm just assuming that it had more to do with money than it actually did the player because it's not like they're loaded at that position. Hell, Tom Brady's screaming for veterans left and right. Who better to bring in than a 68-year-old tight end? Guy's got plenty of experience.
Well, because they have their eyes on somebody better than that.
I do think that it's all right, if I'm going to spend the money, God, if I'm going to spend the money, I'd rather have – I know, drafted him. It was great for us, long career, but I'd rather have this other guy, which is gives me a couple more years, is a better, younger player. There's more upside and can help us exponentially right now. Like Ben is gonna keep it. It's gonna keep the fire from getting out of control. It's gonna be consistent. He's always gonna be in the right spot. Maybe not as fast as it used to be, but okay, he's 38. 38 years old.
I want to go back to what Lou was saying about people not believing in this team, even though they're on a historical run. Certainly this defense is. I'm watching First Take today, and Stephen A. is taking that that road. He's going, nah, they haven't played anybody, and I'm not ready to buy into him yet. This is Michael Wilbon. It was during the game, apparently, yesterday. Stunning to see Tom Brady continue to look like some washed-up old dude. The golden boy, though there is plenty of time to play in this game, looks like anything but.
Let me guess, was that right after the red zone interception? Because that was a bad
look. It was a bad play.
That was a bad look. And I think a lot of people, I mean, when Brady does something like that the week before against Buffalo, did you ever expect him to do the very similar thing the following week?
No, you never do.
Never in a million years.
But I think he's starting to feel some of this stuff, Lou, and that's why I think he keeps on talking about getting somebody else in here other than the kids that, you know, he can depend on. I don't think he has confidence out there when he's throwing the ball to throwing to a lot of these kids. I think the confidence is with Julian Edelman. We were talking about this earlier with Josh Gordon. I'm even questioning the confidence there. Yesterday, threw a post route, and for some reason, he led him too far. And as I watched the thing again, I said, oh, my God, Josh Gordon slowed down. If he continues to run at that pace, he's in the end zone.
Well, does he look like a guy that at the combine ran a 4.3 40?
No.
He is a
guy doesn't exist.
He's a tight end that doesn't block.
Different body.
Playing wide receiver. Yeah. He's enormous. But he's no longer that explosive athlete that he was back in Cleveland. He is a big physical wide receiver who can catch balls in traffic, but as far as breakaway speed, there isn't. Any, right?
No.
He's not that guy anymore.
No, he can't get separation either. And you're running an offense right now in which you've got a makeshift offensive line. And yesterday there were other guys, veterans in that offensive line in the first half, that were having difficulty protecting him with a three-man rush. And so you look at it and say, Brady's got to unload the ball quickly. Edelman's the only guy he can throw the ball quickly to. Gordon takes forever to be able to get open. And the other thing is when he's double covered, notice you can't just throw the ball in a radius around him and think he's going to get to the ball. He stumbles to it, and he's going through, you know, the double
team. Doesn't look athletic,
no,
which is weird with that guy. I mean, you know, he's tough. He's strong. But the athleticism, the burst, that doesn't seem to be part of his game anymore. Which, hey, it happens. You evolve. He's been through a lot, but he's just not that guy.
You tell me, Christian, when it's a one-on-one situation, especially along the sidelines, Brady could throw it to him up high, and he's got that catch radius. He can get to the ball.
Strong hands.
Right. But in a route where he's got a second guy, the safety's on top on him.
I don't know.
He can't get separation.
He's more intriguing this year than he was last year. Last year, I didn't feel he had these issues, right? There wasn't enough of him to be exposed because there was support. Other guys were making plays. But there's something about him, like on that post route, I was like, all right, maybe I had it wrong. Maybe he's hurt. You know, but then I see him on the very next ball that he catches it strong, he's stiff-arming guys, he's showing that he's got mad strength and mad balance.
He's got the stiff arm
down. I just think he checks out. I feel like he is.
I think you watch him differently, though, this year. Last year, I think you were down on him, and you were just like, whatever he gives you is a bonus. But then, you know, and I know that last game was a little weird. We all know why, too, but for a while there, he looked like a guy that was, you know, that Brady trusted, that was working in this offense. So this year when he came back, you expected him to fit in even more. And you expected maybe more out of him. You were expecting huge things out of him this year when the season started. So I think you view him differently. It might be the same guy, but expectations have changed this year. You want more out of him.
Yeah, and last year I felt like it was an experiment. Wasn't really sure what it was going to be. Now you kind of identify what he's capable of doing. He's in his second year in the system. So, yeah, time to take the next step.
See, I still think like Dorsett to me, obviously he got hurt, but even that last game, nine targets, two catches, is maybe more of a disappointment. You kind of felt like he was going to be, you know, more involved. You know, two and a half years now in the system, whatever it was. You felt like, okay, Tom was talking about Phil and how much he loved Phil in the preseason.
Always in the right spot.
I mean, just you can count on him. And so it sounded like, wow, it sounds like Philip Dorsett's got the trust of Tom Brady. And then last week he was 2 for 9 on targets, and this week he gets hurt right away. Like, he's a guy they might be missing more. You know, he's a guy that they actually needed to be something this year, and he was nothing last week, and he's hurt this week.
So I think
that hurts you a lot.
Yeah, and I think this is if you want to get excited about something, I think the Ben Watson deactivation release is to me an indication that something's coming. Something's coming. It's not on the defensive side of the football, and that could be Michael Bennett. Listen, hey, we could be trading Michael Bennett. Fine, okay, zero role, but they're going to add a player on the offense. And it's going to be a skill position player. It's not going to be a lineman.
It's going to be a wide receiver.
Dante can fix it.
Or maybe a tight end, because I want you to feel good. Might be a tight end, but it's going to – and hold on. Could be both. Possibility.
A twofer. I'm calling a twofer.
Could be both.
They're going to go out there and they get two for one, right?
So we've thrown the names out there. We brought up Tyler Eifert because they're talking about him. He's coming back from an injury. He's cheap dollars right now. It cost you $1.5 million. He's in the last year of his deal. Cincinnati's going absolutely nowhere, and they would probably like to get something in return for him this year, because he's going to move on at the end of this year. Then we talked about the wideouts. We've mentioned Emmanuel Sanders. Christian has already mentioned earlier in the program, inside source, inside Denver.
First source.
He's not going anywhere. And I said, not in week five he's not, or week six, but let's see what he's like in week eight. A.J. Green, they're talking about in Cincinnati, though, he hasn't played this year. So you got a guy with an ankle injury.
Too risky.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know about him.
He hasn't played this year.
No, but I do wonder. You mentioned that Michael Bennett thing, and we talked about the snaps, how it went from, you know, 57 to 49 to 35, 29. Last week, what, 25 yesterday?
15.
15?
I think it was 15, percentage. Wasn't it?
25%.
25%. 15 so plays.
But I'm saying the percentage
okay.
has dropped, you know, to the point where you're looking at it and saying, okay, could we be talking about a football trade? Could you be talking about a guy in Michael Bennett that, you know, they are deep and just the whole defense? And it's like, what is his role right now? Could he be a guy on the move to kind of save some money? I think you can save only a couple million, but still, that $2 million is huge. You wonder if he's on the move. Because, I mean, that whole thing last week to, who was it? The kid that actually used to work at NBC, I forget, the reporter that had that interview one-on-one with Bennett. The zero role.
Oh, Henry McKenna.
Henry McKenna.
From Patriots Wire.
The zero role. It's like, okay, you think he's happier this week after playing 29% of the snaps? He played 25 this week against Washington.
No.
You think he's happier about his role now?
Well, let me ask you
so
this.
So going forward, you think it's going to get better?
So let me ask you this.
If
Michael Bennett were removed right now from the equation, does anybody think the defense would take a hit?
Say it again, sorry.
If Michael Bennett
No.
Is removed. Right. No. They don't take a hit.
But I also feel like, man, you have one of your greatest assets is just how much
depth
you have. And really all three levels. So they're rotating those guys in left and right.
You will
have
injuries eventually.
So he says he has. So I wonder how it was served to him when he came here, right? He talked to his brother. I'm sure he talked to Bill. Like, how was it served up? Did he think it was going to be a one-for-one? Did he think he was going to take all the reps that Trey Flowers took? Because Trey Flowers is on the field a lot, rarely came off the field. And then he gets here, and he starts off somewhat high. Then he's, you know, just decreases after every single game.
Well,
did he feel like he was led astray or fooled somehow?
Well, he should have looked at it.
Because he says he has zero role. He doesn't know what his role is.
He should have looked at his brother's situation because his brother clearly got a lot less reps coming here, right?
No, he played a lot. When
Gronk was out, right?
No. They were both playing. Listen, the way – if you go back and look at the way Martellus Bennett was involved in this offense.
Yeah.
Remember I had said, like, if he was here, he would be the equivalent of Gronk. Because they were, this guy's 6'6", 270, and he got him running reverses. Right. He amazingly athletic, okay? Attitude issues, personality issues, injury issues.
All I'm saying is that, you know, listen, you're right, patience. You know, there's going to be injuries. You're right, the defense has a lot of depth, especially Michael Bennett, only playing, you know, a quarter of the snaps. But then it comes down to the player. Okay, you got a good thing going here, right? Defensively, you guys are outstanding. You're 5-0. Is there one guy in that locker room that's unhappy with his role? And if that's not, if that's the case, if it gets louder and you can't get them on the same page, then I think that's a play you might sit there and say, you know what? Okay, so we lose depth of the defensive line, but we gain a wide receiver, which we desperately need, you know, to kind of supplement the money a little bit.
No, that's a good trade-off because you're desperate. I don't think you can win this thing unless you get some help in your passing game. It's hard to believe your defense is going to have to do everything for you the rest of the way. And it's happened before. Great defenses have gone out and won the whole thing. But he seems to be an extra body right now on that defensive side.
Got a sack? I mean, it's can you imagine?
No, he's been, he's been
imagine
okay.
An offensive line sitting there, they never get a breath. They can every time they feel like they're going to get a break when they rotate their second string. I'm using air quotes here. That you have starters, starters coming in,
but fresh as can be. You can go up and down that lineup. Adam Butler is a guy that a lot of people are not talking about. He's been terrific so far this year.
How about Shelton this year?
Shelton's
been great.
Last
year he got benched all year long.
Right.
He never played last year.
Yeah, he went through a 4-game stretch where they benched him. Didn't even dress him. He was inactive. And obviously Jamie Collins right now. Maybe in that group for defensive player of the. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's only 5 games. I'm not.
Listen, that award is going to be hard to give out.
Right.
I mean, really, they got.
Well,
so many
it'll
guys.
Be the reputation. It'll be the Khalil Max and the guys that have the reputation.
Well,
are going
saying,
to be in that group.
Just focus
it's like
on
Mike
this,
Trout in baseball.
Just focus
you know?
On this team. Who's the defensive player on this team?
I think Jamie Collins has been the most consistent, but Hightower was immense yesterday, and he's been very, very good as well.
All right. So last week, the New England Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills, and I was very disappointed in my guy Matthew Slater, almost to the point where we had to have Teddy come in and grade it. So big win on the road, lots of fans in the stadium, everybody played great. Let's hear Matthew Slater break it down today.
Fellas, it ain't an easy thing to go 5-0 in this league. I don't care who you play, 5-0. How do we feel about that 5-0?
I'm still not big on it.
You know what? Maybe that's just his style.
You know what
I'm
he does?
Still not big on it. It is his style, but find someone else a little more animated.
He's 5-0.
He's very preachy.
Guys,
how do we feel? I was just going to say that.
5-0.
He sounds like
a preacher.
He sounds like a comedian who's turned preacher, or a preacher that's turned comedian.
You know, we've heard this.
It's time to be funny. How do we feel? Yeah.
We've heard like this NFL sounds, what NFL replays and things like that. Devin McCourty's really good. Before the games. Talking to his defense.
Yes.
Very good. You would think
Drew Brees like
a little bit more emotion. For Matthew Slater.
See, I hate the pregame guy that comes in, rah-rah, the whole Ray Lewis thing. I get the hell out of the circle at that point in time. But after the game, it's insane. You should be, like, just going nuts and going crazy.
Well, guys, we are 5-0.
It's very tough to be 5-0 in this league.
I don't care who you play. So I asked the question, How do you feel about being 5-0?
Is that Dale Arnold? Who's
that? I mean, it's basically, you can't tell the two. Matthew Slater, Dale Arnold.
I don't know.
It sounds exactly the same.
I want to see a little more emotion. I want to see someone really fired up, no?
Well, I tell you what, we came on down here to our nation's capital, and we got us a win. How do we feel about getting another win and then going from 4-5? Everybody put your hands in the circle. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and we're going to go, oh, yeah. Everybody, keep your personality. Okay, ready?
Those all right, guys so, at the so, risk of having so, my right? Christian Fourier squirrel
they,
moment.
But those guys talk to Slater. They got to get Slater. They got to bring that up to Matthew Slater. They got to bring it up.
Say, we're not happy with the way you're breaking it down.
I need a little bit more emotion.
No, you know, yeah. Teddy Bruschi's not happy. With
yeah. 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 Teddy gave you a B-.
He gave you a B-.
I mean, Teddy passed that along. You got to respect.
The shame.
You know, I mean, the history of it.
The shame of
it. So I get it. When people are sitting there and they're screaming and they haven't played anybody, how can you grade this defense? That's fine. I get it. And they haven't. And you're right in making that argument. And I'm making the argument that I believe, just looking at this team, the way they're playing, I believe that this team will be the best defense, or certainly the top two
in
or three
the history
defense.
Of the NFL.
No, no. In the league this year, they'll be the best in the league.
Will they have a nickname?
You already told me you were giving them one, didn't you?
I just have one, and so I don't even know who gave it to me.
What is it?
The Boston D Party.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
But is it obvious they're going to be one of the top three defenses in football, though?
I think they might be, but I'm saying the best. I still think in the end.
Well, you said top two or three. I mean, yeah.
No, I said it worst.
But
top
right
two
now, it's not about that. It's about history. I mean, right now they're historic. Right now, numbers wise, they're the best defense in the history of football, and you know they just are. That sort of, you know, giving them that title is like whoa, slow down. They have not even. They've barely played a starting quarterback in this league, and not all of them are very good. So, with that regards, you've got to slow down. Will they be the top two or three? Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no question.
I'm buying into it that their numbers are going to be, in the end, they won't be what they are right now because you're right. You're actually going to play legitimate quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the league as opposed to second and third stringers. But it's going to be. But the question I still have is the offense good enough? Is the offense good enough? So, that, and by the way, in Kansas City, they're probably looking at it on the flip side saying, is our defense good enough?
Mm-hmm.
Because when healthy, with Tyreek Hill back, with our quarterback not, gimpy out there, our offense, we can put up a lot of points. Can we stop teams at the other end?
How do we feel about that 5-0?
Bill Belichick will join us coming up next. It's Patriots Monday with the boys down here in Foxborough.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF down here in Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, waiting for the coach to join us here, and he'll join us momentarily. Quick turnaround, short week for these guys.
There you go.
You okay?
I hate this mic.
Why?
I don't know the people get this, but I take this one spot right here.
Your voice is deeper, Christian.
Is it deeper?
Oh, you sound much better.
But I move. Really I migrate for Bill.
Where were you broadcasting from yesterday? Like the
from
roof
the
of
shed.
The shed? The roof of the,
shed?
The
roof of the shed.
Sounded like,
no,
a,
it was in the
like
shed.
A rooster up there on the roof. No?
No. You didn't like the way I sounded?
Yeah, a weird sound to it. That's all.
You're going to be there on Thursday. You know
so
that,
So should
right?
I worry about the sound?
No, at least we'll all be on the same
oh,
mic.
We'll all have the same sound.
Yeah. So are you going to do your whole tailgating thing? Or
yes, I'm hanging around.
We should really just do the show at my house. We should just have Lumpy set up my house. We'll kick it. We'll light a fire.
What's this, Thursday?
Thursday. Or go to Davio's. Let's go to Davio's.
A party. Fiesta.
Let's do that.
We want to thank Davio's. They took care of the boys today with food. Davio's down here in Foxborough. Of course, they're in Boston. Linfield. You can catch them in a bunch of different places. South Shore Plaza. And they are now at the airport, Logan Airport.
I know. Can you believe that? But it's a smaller menu. It's all their hits. All they're doing, they're selling the greatest hits.
What's wrong with that?
I think it's great.
It's good. So but it's great because the food is so crappy, usually, and you can take a great
imagine?
Meal on the plane. On the plane.
What gate are they at? Do we know? Like, what
C.
airline?
They're at C.
Now, who's at C? JetBlue? I'm trying to figure out what airline do I need to fly so I could go to Davio's.
Yeah, I think C is JetBlue, isn't it?
So I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm gonna schedule all my trips around Davio's at the airport.
So now you're going to get there 3 hours.
Get there earlier. Have a little drink, a little steak, maybe a little some meatballs, you know? Maybe some fish, some spring rolls.
We had some of those Kobe meatballs today. They were pretty good.
Yeah, a little bolognese.
The ribeye.
How about that?
To die for. The ribeye is very good.
I migrate. I give up my seat for Bill, and nobody knows that.
I give up my seat for Bill.
I warm it up for him. It's nice and warm. I make sure. See how clean it is over there?
Yes.
Because I know he doesn't like a messy, workspace.
Cleaned it all up. So last week, Jay Gruden was kind of playing coy about it could be any one of the quarterbacks in the game. Here's Pat Shurmur today. Quote, there's a possibility Saquon Barkley can play Thursday versus the Patriots. Much closer to being ready off of the high ankle sprain.
I think you play him.
I'm betting against it.
Yeah, let's play our foundational player that we drafted in the first round.
Exactly.
Let's play that guy when he's not 100%.
Against that defense.
It doesn't matter. I say if he's healthy, he plays. This is not a rookie quarterback trying to read and be successful against this defense.
No, it's a running back coming
this is
up
a running
with a high
back.
Ankle sprain where he might not be 100%.
Well, if he's limping, then you're not going to play him. But I think if he can deal with it, if you could shoot him up, you get him through that game, and then you've got 10 days to sort of rest him after and see how he recovers.
Do you think maybe with a high ankle sprain, he's probably a little touch slower than normal, having trouble getting around the corners?
I just think it's different than say, like a rookie quarterback who you're going to ask him to sit there and say, okay, your first starts are going to be against New England Patriots.
Okay, that's
they're going to show you things, and they're just going to disappear. And all of a sudden, it's going to be something else. They're going to confuse the living hell out of you. Go out there and be successful, as opposed to a great running back who, if he's healthy enough to play, you play him. I don't care what defense you're going up against.
Well, they're limited right now because everybody's hurt at that position.
Coleman's down, so
right.
Yeah.
Right. So they're hurt at that position. I'm with you, though, Christian. I don't know how you take – he's the foundation of the franchise going forward. And, Daniel Jones has been pretty good here for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure you throw him out on a Thursday night game.
What, are you afraid he's going to get tackled?
In New England?
A lot?
I'm afraid he's going to
get tackled. Because you're playing a great defense, so you're afraid he's going to get tackled?
Well, maybe hurting that high ankle sprain again. Those are one of those things you've got to get it right, don't you? Don't you have to get a
high ankle sprain? I would not even come close to messing with that thing.
No, I would not.
God forbid he goes out there at less than 100%. And then, sure enough, he makes it worse, and it's an injury that he's constantly trying to manage with.
So we get some Adrian Peterson stuff. By the way, he's a shell of himself, is he not?
Yes.
About the New England defense, gave his own team a delightful burn. Quote, they showed a lot of exotic stuff on film.
Ooh, got to prepare for
but
all this
against
stuff.
Us, they didn't really, It was like, hey, we'll sit back here and see what you guys do. Allow you guys to mess up.
So they didn't – all the exotic stuff they showed on film – he's saying that the Patriots didn't need to show against Washington. Just sort of sit back and let them mess it up.
Mm.
Yeah, which makes sense. I would agree. But I'm going back to Saquon. We're not talking about a guy that, obviously, if he's not healthy enough to play football, you don't play him.
I get that.
But
so
if
the question
can,
is,
my thing is, if he can play, then you play him. This is not a rookie quarterback that you're worried about going up against his defense.
What percentage is he?
If you believe it, was he actually really kind of somewhat close last week talking about like he kind of was.
How many weeks has it been?
What did he do, week two? Week after week two did he get hurt? Or week three? Probably three weeks.
And they said 4 to 6 was the original plan, right?
Young.
4 to 6.
He's a young man. He's a young buck.
He's probably a guy that has a high tolerance for pain, and he's out there, and he's competitive.
Does it make sense on a short week to give him another couple of weeks to get ready? Yes, it probably does. Get through the Patriots game, then maybe get him into practice, and if he can play the following week, so be it. All I'm saying is it's not like Dwayne Haskins, who I never would have played against the Patriots.
Saquon hurt September 22nd, so it'd be a quick turnaround.
It's my birthday.
Yeah,
happy
wow,
birthday.
That's only
it's
a few weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks.
He's not playing.
It just doesn't make sense that you would play him in this game, and if you do, how limited are you? You're not playing him much. It just doesn't make any sense. We shall see. But Pat Shurmur, anyway, saying there's a possibility that Saquon Barkley will play Thursday night here in Foxborough. It's time for The Coach, brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively and men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, the area's premier heating oil provider. Needham Bank, and by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Bill, how you doing today?
All right, Glenn, how's it going?
Terrific. 5-0.
Coach and Lou, how's it going?
Yeah.
Nice win, and it looked like it was a home game down there in Washington.
It did. It really felt like it. Yeah, we had a lot of fans down there. All on our side there. They were, yeah. We felt it. Definitely felt it.
All right, so the first half, you have offensive struggles. You throw the ball 31 times. You fast-paced, and you run a lot of plays. And yet you had trouble running the ball and had trouble scoring. Second half, totally different story. What changed?
Yeah. Well, that's obviously we feel like we did a better job. We missed some opportunities that if we could have just done things a little bit better, I think we would have had different results in the first half. But again, they're a good defense. They have a good front. They're hard to block. So, you know, they made some plays. And second half, we hit a couple.
Yeah, so because it's a lot's been made of the halftime adjustments, and it's kind of overrated because why don't you just make those adjustments on the sideline? Why would you wait till halftime? But it seemed there was more of a significant change in the second half. I don't know if you saw it the same way. Did you guys see something that they were doing that maybe you added? Saw a couple plays with the tight ends that really worked, especially with Sony Michel.
Yes, well, as you know, Christian, you have a little more time at halftime, and we're certainly making adjustments in the first quarter and the second quarter. We're not going to wait till halftime, but sometimes you have a little more time to get organized and make sure you covered a little more thoroughly there. But look, it's the National Football League; you got to be able to make adjustments after the end of a series. You can't wait a half to do something. So, yeah, our execution needs to be better, and again. They're a good defense. They made some plays, and we were able to make more in the second half.
So I got to ask you, before this game even started, it seemed like the timeout, was that miscommunication with the too many guys in the field? You call a timeout before one play.
Yeah.
Just too many men.
That's right.
Is that frustrating? I would imagine.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Starting all week, and the very first play, you got too many guys out there. I would imagine that wouldn't go over so well.
Yeah, I got to do a better job.
Is that on you, or is that more of a defensive personnel coordinator calling plays? Or
yeah, no, that's my fault. I actually got to do a better job.
Quickest timeout in the history of the National Football League, right there. Well,
unfortunately, I think it's happened before. But
did you have to run? Did you run a lap today for that?
Tight ends were involved in your passing game yesterday. Was that by design? Was that a game plan against Washington? Or was it what they showed during the course of the game? Those guys were the ones that were open.
Yeah, that's always the way it is, Glenn. Unless you call a screen pass, you just don't know. I mean, if we knew that Ryan Izzo was going to be standing in the end zone wide open, could fair catch the ball, then you don't know that. You never know that. So sometimes plays unfold that way, and that's who it went to. But you don't call that play and say, Ryan, get down there and stand in the end zone, and we'll just punt it down to you because nobody will be within 20 yards of you. That's just not the way it works. So Tom does a great job of reading coverages, getting ball to the open guy. Did a great job of that yesterday. We had some yards after the catch. When it's man-to-man coverage and Tom sees matchups that he likes, like James White or Julian, and that's where it happens to go on that route, then great. But that's not always the case. And it just – our passing game depends on what play we have on and what coverage they're in. And then if there are matchups across the board, then Tom takes the best matchup. That's the best way I can put it.
Speaking of tight ends, I know last week we talked about exemption list, but Ben Watson said you guys released him. I'm just curious, what went into that decision?
Just don't have a roster spot.
Was it the football player itself? Because a lot of people speculate, we've talked about, that the money that you could actually save as well for the cap hit.
Yeah. Well, Lou, we only have so many roster spots, so if we put somebody on, we have to take somebody off. And right now, there just wasn't a roster spot.
Was it because of – did he look different when he came back? Was he –
No, we just we didn't feel like there was somebody that we could create a roster spot with. Everybody came out of the game healthy or have a decent team, so I felt like that's where we're at.
Well, I was going to say that. I'm sure that was a. I guess a tough conversation with Ben. Obviously,
sure, that always is. Sure. Yeah.
So you got 3 weeks before the trading deadline. What happens now? What are you guys doing now? Are you watching what you think might happen? Are you having communications with other teams? And how does that change over the 3 weeks? And it, as you get closer to that deadline, each side has got urgency to get something done.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're getting ready for the Giants. We're on a short week, and so that's really what our focus is. Nick Caserio and personnel people are constantly evaluating players throughout the league. There are guys on the waiver wire every day that get released or worked out, workouts and releases and so forth based on the roster fluctuation throughout the league. So that's a daily occurrence. Trades, it's unpredictable. Each situation is different. Who calls who and who's available and what it is and all that, just it's a very individual case-by-case situation. Sometimes those happen the day before the trade deadline. Sometimes they're weeks before the deadline. It's just no, there's no way to know that.
So you guys lost Gostkowski last week. You have a bunch of kickers in the tryout. You end up signing Michael Nugent. Nuge, I guess, as Chatham calls him. Because I don't know if you know, but Chatham saved his life one day. He was choking, and Chatham, to the rescue, saved his life. So how do you think he did? So...
Well, again, it's a full operation here. First time that those three guys have really worked together. So I think timing is certainly a part of that. Mike hit a couple of good balls and just a couple that, the operation could have been better. Part of it's him, part of it's, guys not working together very much.
I've never seen a kicker. I've never seen more people chart a kicker's kicks during preseason than they did with Nugent. Whether what he made from what distance, if he was, it was there wind, just a lot of people just, I guess invested in his success, and he misses the first extra point. Was that, did you have to say anything to him or just how does that work? Do you just stay out of his way?
Well, Christian, the only reason you didn't notice it any other time was because you must not have been paying attention when Gostkowski came here.
I don't think it was here after Vinatieri.
Because after Vinatieri, I didn't say you were here.
Yeah, okay.
But you can look at every single day, the morning of in the paper was whatever Steve kicked the day before. No, what hash mark they were from, how many made.
No,
many
I'm missed. Talking about before the game started.
I'm telling you, every kick that Steve kicked.
Even in pregame?
I'm talking about training camp.
Oh, okay.
Forget about pregame.
Training I'm talking camp, about pregame for Nugent.
Pregame, training camp. Every kick he kicked was charted as the replacement for Vinatieri. So, that's pretty common. You bring in a new kicker, and that's what it's going to be.
Well, especially a guy, and both of those guys, Gostkowski and Vinatieri before him, had been so successful, right? So you're looking at it saying, how do you live up to that?
Yeah. So. But, nobody's charted Steven well. But believe me, Steve, every kick he had was charted, even the ones that he kicked off the little arm.
So the little holder of the ball?
Yeah.
What is the name of
they
that thing?
Those.
What do they call that thing?
The little arm.
Little arm. It's got a new name.
What is that thing?
So you guys had Bailey do the kickoff. Seven touchbacks. One thing you had with Steven, I know strategy-wise, guys, just to drop it right at that goal line. Week one with this guy, Bailey, just boom that thing out of the end zone. Is that something that he can work on? You can see if he can do what Steven used to do over time?
I think Bailey's a pretty talented guy, so I'm sure there's a lot of things that he can do. First time he kicked off, he kicked off in preseason, but, for yesterday, that's... He was just kicking the ball, and he hit it well. The last one, not as well, but it hit and went through, so it turned into a touchback. But, he hit the ball well. He hit it well in preseason. Could he do different things? I'm sure he can.
So you get a quick turnaround. This is a team that you played in the preseason. That make a difference? Is that a factor?
Not much.
Okay. Yep. So you look at this team, and they have a rookie quarterback who's been pretty good so far to this point. They've got some injuries in the backfield. how difficult is it with a quick turnaround in getting everybody up to speed? And do you simplify stuff as opposed to what you would normally do with a full week in a game plan?
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's certainly a level of cutting things back. First of all, you just don't have an opportunity to practice them. And it's not like we're playing a division team here where we have a lot of familiarity with them. Yeah, we know the Giants, but we really haven't played them in 4 years. So it's, as you said, new quarterback, obviously a great running back. Preseason's preseason, but this is a whole different preparation ball game. So, yeah, we'll have to try to figure out what we can get done, practice. And, again, the Giants are a good game plan team. They're in all three phases. They're well coached. They're good in the kicking game. They're very good in the kicking game. Put a lot of pressure on you defensively with their blitz packages, and offensively, Coach Shermer does a great job of putting his guys in advantageous positions and create problems for the defense. So, I don't think you want to try to do everything here. Try to make sure that we know what we're doing and go and play aggressively and not make big mistakes and beat ourselves.
So you guys had Daniel Jones in pre-draft interview, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I heard you say that you said he was like a real impressive kid, paraphrasing. What was impressive about him?
Oh, he's smart. He's got a good football background. He understands a lot about the passing game, a lot about coverages. Personally, he's just an impressive kid. And he's smart. He's got a good head on his shoulders, mature.
When you have a guy like that, do you guys test him and put them up, have them draw coverages? Do you guys watch film? Is that how you identify? Because there's college smart, and which I think is a big difference than the pro and defenses. Do you guys do that with him and to recognize how smart he really is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well,
did you get that test?
I know that, but I'm not sure if other people know that. They don't know what a pre-draft. Do you remember sitting down with me?
Yeah, we get out. We do go out and take them out to dinner, wine them and dine them.
You do?
Yeah, take them around the town.
Head into Providence really
make
at all?
Really make them feel important.
Wait.
College recruit trip.
But do you remember?
Let him go stand on the state house. And
give him his jersey.
Do you take him to Davio's?
Right.
Say, order the steak?
Yeah. Let him meet Miss Massachusetts and all that, yeah.
Do you remember? I had a pre-draft meeting with you.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Remember how impressed you were with me?
Admit it, Bill. You said you do not remember.
Where were we? Do you remember where we were?
It's a long time ago.
I'm sure he knows.
We talked at Colorado.
We talked, and we also talked in San Francisco, the Shrine Game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yep. But Colorado, who all was in your class? You had a great class.
Oh, wait. Cordell, Westbrook. Yeah. A ton of guys. Ted Johnson.
Yep. Who was the offensive lineman?
Tony Birdie.
Yeah, Birdie. That's right.
Chris Nioli. We had a lot of. We were good back then.
Yeah, you had outside linebackers too, right?
Yes. I can't remember their names though.
Alfred
Williams. Canavis McGee.
Yeah. I mean,
do you notice he remembers the players better than he remembers
our
you?
Sit down. We were very. In-depth meeting.
You had a big class. Ten guys drafted. Eight guys drafted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an impressive group.
Yeah, so I never got to do the whole, Miss Massachusetts. I mean, you were in Cleveland at the time, so.
Yeah. Oh, you would have loved. Yeah. Well, we had to recruit extra hard in Cleveland.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yet. Yeah, you bet.
You can check them out there.
That was really a lot before the visits, though. It was more of the coaches going to the players.
Yeah.
Now it's those 30 visits. That's, it's, you. I don't know. I don't want to say you see more guys, but it seems like you see more guys in the facility, in your hometown.
Yeah.
So,
I want to ask you about the defense. You constantly, and they're getting a lot of attention, as they should be getting attention right now, though some people are looking who they played against, and I get that. But you've got a lot of playmakers on that defensive side of the ball. Personnel is tremendous. Yet you always talk about collectively working as a unit and everybody doing their job. How difficult is that? When you do have so many great playmakers out there to keep them in their lanes, having them do what you need them to do.
Yeah, this is really a good group to work with, Glenn. They're very, very smart. They communicate well, and a lot of times they will make calls and make adjustments so that their teammate can make a play. They'll check out of something that is more advantageous to one of their teammates than maybe it will be for them. Where they cover and let somebody else rush or. Whatever it happens to be. So, they have a very good understanding. We've played a number of guys, so there are different combinations there, and they communicate well with each other. It's a smart, instinctive group. Guys see things, they alert each other to what they see and so forth. So they're playing well together.
They seem so pissed on that Sims 65-yard run because they lost contain and then they didn't tackle properly. And it almost looked like they were standing around waiting for somebody else to make a tackle. And it's so different than anything we've seen from this defense through the first five games. It's out there.
Well, we saw a little bit against Gore. It's a little bit of the same thing.
Yes, yeah,
Gore
right.
Play. Yeah, so. Yeah. Look, these, you know, you got to tackle these backs and running backs and receivers and tight ends in this league, and you know, it just doesn't take much. You miss a tackle, make a bad play, and give up a gap or a lane, and they can kill you. So, you know, we got to do a better job coaching. They hit us on as a kind of a counter play there that we hadn't worked on, and so we could coach it better. We could have played it better. But you know, I thought that the group showed a lot of resiliency after that play. We really, I thought, you know, showed some determination and you know, played maybe at a little higher level of concentration and intensity, and so that was good.
Yeah, 15 yards, I think, in the next three or four series that combined, which was incredible.
And you guys have so much depth on that defense. It's hard, you know, rotating guys in and out. We were talking before, Michael Bennett is, I think, snap count has gone down each and every week to the point where it was like 25% last week. Is that just Butler playing at a different level, or is that scheme-wise, or why the decreased role in Michael Bennett?
Yeah, well, everybody's playing, so I don't think anybody's keeping track of plays out there. We're just trying to, you know, rotate people through and play certain matchups, certain groups against other certain groups, but game situations sometimes trump that, so, you know, we'll just do what we think's best each week.
You guys good?
Oh, yeah.
You ready? Can I get a drum roll for this?
No.
Big moment.
It is. I'm going to make sure I don't flub it. All right, so this is your knock on wood if you're with me. There you go. All right. So the drive of the week brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers and the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned event going on now through October 31st. All right, Coach. What's your drive of the week?
Drive of the week. Well, I think the touchdown drive in the start of the third quarter was good. Where we hit Bolden down the sideline. That was, what was at that point, like 12-6 or something like that?
12-7.
12-7. And that was a good, touchdown, made it a two-score game. And, you know, gave us a little momentum there starting the second half after we, you know, came out and received the kickoff. So it was a good good swing for us there to start the half that way. So I like that drive.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Seven plays, 75 yards.
Yeah, I just – Bolden is just such a reliable guy. It just – I mean, he's always making plays. He's always taking advantage of the opportunities that he has. I mean
– two touchdowns in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a good average, right?
Yeah.
And the tight ends got involved and everything.
He took advantage of him last year in Miami too, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. He killed us down there.
All right, you're done?
That's it.
Okay.
Go buy a Mercedes.
I'm done as well. Conversation with the Coach is brought to you by Putnam Investments, Putnam Investments, and the New England Patriots proud partners committed to an active game plan on and off the field. The New England Patriots, 5-0, one of only two teams undefeated in the National Football League, and that could change tonight. Thanks, Coach. We'll catch you back here next Monday.
All right, sounds good.
Good luck Thursday night.
Good luck Thursday, Coach.
Thank you.
See you later. Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we save for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier.
Oh, Last Call's here.
There it is.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car.
Always asking questions.
Help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877 Cars for Kids or carsforkids.com.
Can't help himself.
I know.
Help what?
I got a question too. I'm this having a nice little committee. Conversation.
I stay out of it. Shall I stay out of it? It's quiet.
Yeah, you know, you let me have my moment. I got a question
too. How long was your moment going to go on for?
You're bringing
10 minutes.
Please, this my don't want. Why are you worried about what my moment is?
You were reliving your days.
That's right.
In Colorado.
And you got to bring Fred up. Yeah. Like, hey, Fred, I talked to Bill for you. He broke it all down. You got to get in.
Hey, Bill. Tell me how this works.
How does it break it down for me? We only got 15 seconds before we get back on the show.
Are we out of time?
Can
we
go? Yes, we are out of time. Yes,
that is our last
reconvene tomorrow.
I'm sick of him. Lou, you're okay.
I'm good.
I'm good with Lou, but him. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Can't wait.
2 o'clock. Can't wait. See you, man. Goodbye.
We suck.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.